ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण, वेलकम टू अवर भागवत प्रवाह ऑनलाइन कोर्स। Today we are beginning the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. We have completed the first five cantos of Bhagavatam in the last 25 episodes, and in the next five episodes we will be discussing the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The fifth canto of Bhagavatam ended with a beautiful description of the universe structure, and towards the end of this description, Sukadeva Goswami spoke about various kinds of hellish planets. After hearing all these descriptions, Parikshit Maharaj's heart became filled with compassion for all those people who are suffering in these hellish planets. Then he asked Sukadeva Goswami in the beginning of the sixth canto. So he says that, "Oh Sukadeva Goswami, you have taught me about Nivritti Marga, means elevation to higher planets. You also have taught me about Pravritti Marga, that is enjoying and suffering in this material world because of various activities, that is described in the Canto 3. And you have also taught me that by performing impious activities, one will enter hellish planets. Now, and you have also taught me the structure of the entire universe and the dynasties of different personalities in the Swayambhu Manu's lineage. So you have taught me all these things. Now I have one question. You spoke about various kinds of suffering in the hellish planets. How can the humanity be saved from entering these hellish planets? Can you please tell me?" So Parikshit Maharaj has asked this question out of his deep concern and compassion for all the souls. Nobody should suffer in hell. So Parikshit Maharaj is himself a great Vaishnava. He is definitely on the path back to Godhead. So in this 1 week, he was cursed to die within 1 week, and in this 1 week he has been hearing the descriptions of the Supreme Lord, his incarnations and his devotees and the whole process of Bhakti Yoga from an exalted soul like Sukadeva Goswami. It is 100% sure that he is going back to the spiritual world. But although he is about to go back to the spiritual world, within just few days he is quite compassionate on the people who are suffering in these hellish conditions. A Vaishnava's compassion is very deep, very spontaneous. And as soon as Parikshit Maharaj has heard the description of hellish planets, he immediately asked, "How can the humanity be saved from entering hell?" And he was not even asking about his own Kshatriya community. How can our Kshatriyas be protected from entering hell? He is asking about the entire humanity. So a Vaishnava is called Paradukha Dukhi. He takes anxiety and he becomes very distressful seeing the distress of other people. Although Vaishnava himself or herself do not have any sufferings, but still they suffer seeing the suffering of other people. So with deep compassion, our Parikshit Maharaj asked this question, a pure devotee. Now Sukadeva Goswami began his answer, but Sukadeva Goswami did not give a straightforward answer. He wanted to test the understanding of Parikshit Maharaj, his disciple. Sukadeva Goswami spoke to him up to the fifth canto. Now in the sixth canto, he wanted to test the understanding of Parikshit Maharaj. So the simple answer to Parikshit's question is, what did Parikshit ask? He asked, "How can the humanity be saved from entering hellish planets?" The simple answer is, by worshipping the Supreme Lord Krishna, by performing Bhakti Yoga, one need not enter hell. And not only avoiding hell, one can attain the spiritual world also. That is the simple answer. But instead of giving that answer, Sukadeva Goswami told Parikshit Maharaj that, "O Parikshit, people perform sinful activities with their body, mind and words, and one has to atone for all those sinful activities. If one performs sinful activities, there will be sinful reactions. One has to suffer them. So if one, after performing sinful activities, if one performs some atonement or prayaschitta for those sinful activities, then one can avoid the reaction." So he says like this. And this is the solution that he gives. For bigger sins, there are bigger atonements. For smaller sins, there are smaller atonements. Before one dies, before one leaves this body, one has to perform atonement so that one can avoid hell. So this is the answer that Sukadeva Goswami gives. But Parikshit Maharaj was not impressed with this answer. Parikshit says that, oh, you are saying that by performing atonement one can avoid hell. Okay, by performing atonement one may avoid sinful reaction, but one cannot give up one's propensity to commit sin. Sinful propensity is there, the inclination, the urge to commit sin is still there in that person. So I don't consider this as a solution. He says that kvachin nivartate bhadrat kvachit charati tat punaha. He says sometimes one may restrain oneself from committing a sin and sometimes one may commit sin also. Right? So prayaschittam atho apartham manye kunjara shauchavat. I consider this prayaschitta or atonement to be totally meaningless, like an elephant bath. You can see in that picture, an elephant takes bath in a wonderful water reservoir under a waterfall or in a lake or in a river. But as soon as the elephant comes out of that water reservoir, elephant throws dirt on itself. You can see that picture. So what is the use of taking bath then? Similarly, one may perform sinful activity and to avoid sinful reaction, one may perform atonement. But after doing that atonement, one may again commit sin. Just like elephant again throws dirt on its body. So it's of no use. So Parikshit Maharaj rejected the answer of Sukadeva Goswami. And Sukadeva Goswami actually became happy. Oh, my disciple is not accepting blindly whatever I am speaking. He can understand that I am testing him and he is passing the test by not accepting something which is not bona fide. So, to further test the understanding of Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami gives another answer, which is also not the great answer. So, it's better than the previous answer. In the previous answer, he said karmakandic atonement is the solution to avoid hell. Now, he says that Jnana Kanda or following various rules and regulations or limbs of Jnana Yoga will enable one to avoid hellish conditions. Means there are some Yama, Niyama, there are certain rules and regulations, sense control, mind control, Vedic study and so many other practices one has to follow. So, basically, what is this Jnana? A person performs sinful activities because of ignorance. And if one is in knowledge, then one need not commit sin. So knowledge is the solution for ignorance. In ignorance we commit sin, but if we develop knowledge and also follow various practices that are favorable for attaining that knowledge, then one need not enter hellish planets. That is the solution that he has given. And the comparison here is, earlier it was kunjara shauchavat. It is like elephant bath. So that karmakanda is like elephant bath. This jnanakanda is like venugulmam ivanala. Venugulmam means the a bush of bamboo. So you can see bamboo trees growing in forests. So iva anala, when you take fire and throw on that bamboo bush, dry bamboo, the bamboo trees completely burn to ashes. Similarly, by following various limbs and rules and regulations of jnana or knowledge, one can burn all sinful reactions, one can avoid hell. He says like this. But there is a problem with this also. Definitely, in ignorance, a person performs sin. And if one is in knowledge, one can avoid sin. But it's not necessary that every knowledgeable person would avoid sin. So, we commit mistakes out of ignorance, that is sure. But every mistake that we commit is not because of ignorance. Even in knowledge also we commit mistakes. Even while we are in knowledge, we can commit mistake. For example, smoking is injurious to health. Everybody knows this. So the person who is smoking also is aware of this, but still he smokes because of some pleasure that he derives from that activity. So ignorance is not the cause of every mistake. Even in knowledge also a person can commit mistake. So, and because of knowledge, one may kind of control oneself from committing certain mistakes. But when there is some favorable circumstances There are certain favorable circumstances to enjoy some sense pleasure. One may just give in to that urge, and when even having, by having knowledge also, one may commit that sin. So that's why this comparison Venugulmam Ivanala, or the comparison of knowledge burning the dry bamboo. Knowledge acts like fire that burns the bamboo of sinful reactions to ashes, is not completely the solution, because now the bamboo bush may be burned to ashes because of fire, but the roots of that bamboo tree are still there. As soon as there is favorable climate, again the bamboo bushes will grow. Similarly, knowledge, because of knowledge we may restrain ourselves from doing a sinful activity, but when there is favorable circumstances, we might tend to commit a sin also despite having knowledge. So what is the solution then? Parikshit Maharaj was not impressed with this answer also. That's why he rejected this answer also. He did not speak anything, but Sukadeva Goswami understood that Parikshit was not impressed with this answer. Definitely this jnana or knowledge is better than karma or doing atonement processes. But that does not mean that this is the best thing to do. So Parikshit is still dissatisfied. So noticing this, Sukadeva Goswami has given the ultimate answer. He says,
Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayanah agham dhunvanti karsnena niharamiva bhaskaram. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya, by performing unflinching devotional service unto the Supreme Lord. Kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayanah. Bhakti has to be done unto the Supreme Lord Vasudeva. Then what will happen? Agham dhunvanti karsnena. All the sins are completely eradicated. Agham means sin. Dhunvanti means washed away. Karsnyana means completely. All the sins and sinful propensities and sinful reactions are completely vanquished. How? Nihara miva bhaskara. Bhaskara means sun. Nihara means a drop of dew. A drop of dew cannot exist when the sun is shining brilliantly on the sky. So the sinful reactions or propensities cannot exist when bhakti shines brilliantly in the heart of a devotee. This is the ultimate solution. While karmakandic atonement processes are compared to elephant bath, and various practices of jnanakanda or cultivating knowledge are compared to burning of bamboo bushes, this bhakti yoga or devotional services that include sravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, pada sevanam, etc., they are compared to sun evaporating a drop of dew. So bhakti yoga is the best path, and bhakti is the ultimate atonement. Bhakti is the most auspicious path. On this path there is no fear of any obstacle, and this path is followed by great saintly people, and atonements do not lead to purification. So atonement may, even for argument's sake, even if you consider that atonement may protect us from certain sinful reaction, but atonement will not protect us from sinful propensity. Only bhakti can protect us. So by performing bhakti, by engaging our senses in various devotional spiritual activities, the senses will gradually lose their propensity to enjoy on a material plane. To the degree we intensely practice bhakti, to that degree we will be losing the urge to do sense gratification through these senses. So our Sukadeva Goswami says,
Sakran manaha krishna padaravindayor niveshitam tadguna ragi airiham nate yamam pasha bhrtascha tadbhatan svapne pipashyanti hicherda nishkritaha. Sakran manaha krishna padaravindayor. Even if we keep our mind on Krishna Pada Aravinda. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Pada means his feet. Aravinda means lotus. Manaha means mind. If we focus our mind on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Krishna even once, Niveshitam tad gunaragi airiha. And even if we focus our mind on Krishna's qualities, activities, nama, rupa, guna, lila, even once, the result is Nate yamam pasha bhrtascha tad bhatan. Such a person need not go to hell. He will not. Who will take us to hell? Yamadutas, the messengers of Lord Yama, the Lord of Death, will take us to hell. One need not see Yamadutas even in their dreams also. Even in dreams, we don't have to see Yamadutas if we take shelter of Krishna. what to speak of directly Yamadutas coming and taking. So Swapne Pipashyanti, even in Swapna, dream also we need not see. Chirana Nishkritaha, the chanting of the holy names, that taking shelter of Lord by doing the whole process of Bhakti Yoga, we have accomplished all kinds of atonements possible. So generally it's believed that I will be protected from sinful reaction if I perform some atonement. But Bhakti is the best atonement. And an important point to note down here is, the context of this whole discussion is, how can the humanity be protected from entering hellish planets? That's the question asked by Parikshit, and Sukadeva Goswami is addressing it. So Bhakti is presented as a solution. But by performing Bhakti Yoga, one will definitely avoid hell, but that is an insignificant byproduct. Avoiding hellish conditions, avoiding meeting Yamadutas is just one small byproduct of the process of Bhakti. The end product is love of God. You will get much more than just avoiding hell. So avoiding hell is a discussion, that's why it's being highlighted. But the main thing is, we will develop love for Krishna. We will go to spiritual world. So avoiding hell is like one thing, but going to spiritual world is more exciting. So that's what Bhakti can provide us. So as an example to this shloka, the 19th shloka we discussed just now, Sakran Manaha Krishna Padaravindayor, as an example to this shloka, Sukadeva Goswami narrates the whole episode of Ajamil. Ajamil was a Brahmana, and he had lost all his good qualities by associating with a prostitute. In the third canto of Bhagavatam, we have seen how one has to avoid bad association, and bad association, and especially association of opposite gender for sense gratification in an undue and unrestricted manner, is the most degrading way of living life. We have seen all that. So this Ajamil is an example. He has associated with a prostitute, and he has lost all his Brahmanical qualities. He has lost cleanliness, austerity, and Vedic study, and truthfulness, everything he has lost. And he committed so many sinful activities to maintain his family. And like this, doing sinful activities, he has passed 88 years of his life. And he had 10 sons. And the youngest son's name is Narayana. And this youngest son is hardly 2-3 years old. At the age of 88, Ajamil had a very young son who is hardly 2-3 years old. Means Ajamil was having sense gratification and sex indulgence even at the age beyond 80 also, 85, 86, whatever. So that is the stage of Ajamil. So Ajamil was very attached to this young son named Narayana. So because of his sinful activities, his life is also coming to an end. So once the Yamadutas came to take Ajamil to the Yamaloka, to the hell. So Ajamil could not understand that his death was approaching nearby. He was so absorbed in the activities of this child only. So Ajamil was always spending time with the child. He is saying whenever he is eating, he would call his son, Narayana, please come and eat this. Narayana, please come and drink this. Narayana, please come and play with me. Narayana, come, it's time to sleep. So like that, he's constantly calling his son Narayana, Narayana, Narayana with great affection, not knowing that his death is coming so close to him. So death has come. Death will not wait for anyone. So at the time of his death, this three Yamadutas came to take Ajamil to hell. Because Ajamil has performed sinful activities with his body, mind and words, three Yamadutas came to take him to hell. So at that time, Ajamil became very anxious. He was feeling separation from his son. He was thinking that, oh, I am going to leave my son and go. Narayana, Narayana, come here. Narayana, please come. So like that, he was calling out the name of his son, Narayana, with so much of anxiety in his mind, in a helpless state of mind, with full concentration he was chanting. He was calling out the name of his son, Narayana. Somehow by his good fortune, he has named his son as Narayana. And in this pretext, he started chanting the holy name of Narayana also. So because he uttered the four syllables of the Supreme Lord's name, Narayana, Narayana, four Vishnu Dutas came to protect Ajamil. Because he was calling out the name Narayana, Narayana, Narayana helplessly. and he was actually indicating his son, but the original Lord Narayana has responded to the request of Ajamil because the child is not Narayana. Although Ajamil has kept his name as Narayana, the child is not Narayana, but the name is Narayana. The name is non-different from the personality Narayana. In a deep, helpless state of mind, with deep anxiety, with full concentration and focus, when Ajamil was chanting the holy name Narayana, that chanting, that calling out of his holy name, invoked the compassion of Lord Narayana, the Supreme Lord Narayana in Vaikuntha, and he had sent his 4 attendants, the Vishnu Dutas, to protect Ajamil from this Yamadutas who were taking away Ajamil to hellish planets. So, Vishnudutas came there and stopped the Yamadutas. You cannot take Ajamil. Then the Yamadutas became very surprised. Oh, you are looking so effulgent. You look so brilliant. You look proper. Why your behavior is improper? Who are you? Whose servants are you? What are your names? Why are you challenging the jurisdiction of Yamaraj? Under Yamaraj's superintendence and direction, we are taking all the sinful people to hellish planets. So we have come to take Ajamil because he has performed so many sins. But why are you blocking us? So which place are you coming from? Who is your master? Why are you forbidding us? So basically Yamadutas were very attracted to the charming forms of Vishnudutas. As you are seeing in that picture, Vishnudutas are so beautiful. They are decorated with all kinds of garments and ornaments and garlands and weapons. They are so effulgent. But Yamadutas were so ugly, they have some twisted faces and they look very ferocious. But this Yamadutas became very attracted to the Vishnudutas. So when Yamadutas questioned the Vishnudutas like this, Vishnudutas asked, "Oh, you are claiming to be the servants of Yamaraj, Yamadharmaraj. Can you tell me what is the dharma? What do you mean by dharma? And what is adharma? And on what criteria are you taking different people to hellish planets? Do you have any protocols for your Yamalok? What are your rules and regulations? Is everyone entitled for punishment by you? Who should not be taken by you? Who can be taken by you? Just tell all this." Then when Vishnudutas questioned like this, the Yamadutas have elaborately described that dharma is what is prescribed in the scriptures. So dharma is mentioned in the scriptures, and whatever is against the scriptural injunctions is adharma. So we have heard this from Yamaraj. It is Yamaraj who has actually taught us what is dharma and what is adharma. So this Yamadutas, although they are living in hell and punishing people, they are also aware of certain religious codes. So when Vishnudutas questioned Yamadutas, they immediately said that, they quoted authority. We have heard from Yamaraj that dharma is the whatever is mentioned in Vedaha Pranihito Dharma. Whatever is mentioned in the scriptures, Vedic scriptures, is dharma, and whatever is against it is adharma. And when some people are doing dharmic activities or adharmic activities, there are multiple witnesses who are actually seeing their activities. So the witnesses are Suryo Agnihi Kham Maruddevaha Somaha Sandhyayani Dishaha, means the sun, the fire, the moon, the sky, the demigods, the evening, the daytime, the nighttime, the directions, the water, land, the super soul within. And Yamaraj, all these 12 people are there who are witnessing our activities, whether we are doing good activities or bad activities. And if there are bad activities, how bad are they? They are witnessing all these things. And the candidates for punishment in hellish planets are actually those candidates who are confirmed by these witnesses. And in this great court, the judge is the super soul, because Paramatma is always there in every living entity's heart, and he is noticing all the good and bad activities and thoughts and inclinations and desires of all the materialistic conditioned souls. And he instructs Yamaraj to give certain kind of treatment or punishment to the sinful people. And Yamaraj executes it through the Yamadutas. So now everybody in this material world have a tendency to be influenced by the material modes. And one who is influenced by the material modes tends to commit some pious activities or impious activities. to the degree they are pious or to the degree they are impious, to that degree they are given sinful reactions. They are given reactions and opportunities for enjoyment in upper planets also. So now a person who is living in a body in one lifetime may not be fully aware of his past, present and future. Now of the past life, we may not remember our past life, we may not know our future life, but the super soul, the Supreme Lord and his empowered representatives, they are aware of our past, present and future and our propensities and everything. So they know, they can observe us, they know better. So they can give certain punishments if needed. Okay. So those people who perform sinful activities are punished in hellish planets, and after sufficient hellish suffering, they are put in different material bodies that suit their material mentalities for further continuation in the cycle of birth and death, perpetual transmigration. So in this way, the conditioned soul, if he does not take to bhakti yoga, he will be entrapped in this materialistic activities and this material existence like a silkworm in a cocoon. So, and will a person avoid hell by just stopping all activities? No, that is not possible. The Yamadutas say that nahi kaschit kshanam api jato tishthati akarmakrit. The soul is very active. Whether good or bad, the soul has to act. One cannot be in inactivity. One is forced to act according to one's own svabhava, one's own propensities. So, like that, the Yamadutas analyzed how they are administering punishment to people. What are the protocols of Yamalok? They spoke to the Vishnudutas very eloquently. After that, the Yamadutas came to the specific case of Ajamil. Who is this Ajamil? Why are they taking Ajamil to hell? They say that this Ajamil was a pure Brahmana. Ayam hi srutasampannaha shilavrata gunalayaha dhritavrataha mruduhu danta satyavan. So this Ajamil is shila sampanna, endowed with all good character. Then dhritavrataha, he has executed all the Vedic rituals and vows with great determination. Satyavan, he is very truthful and he is well studied in Vedic literatures. Mruduhu, he is very mild and gentle. Shuchi, very pure and clean. Then sadhu, well behaved. Mitavag, he is controlled in his speech. Anasuyakaha, he is never envious of anyone. So like this, Ajamil was very perfectly qualified Brahmana. However, one day he went to collect some ingredients for worship and some yajna because his father instructed him to do so. Then Ajamil went to the forest and he saw an illicit affair. On his way through the forest, he saw one Shudra and a woman, a prostitute, embracing each other, having spending time very intimately in public, open space. So Ajamil has seen that scene. And when Ajamil saw that, then he was thinking of so many Vedic instructions. Oh, I'm not supposed to see this. And this is an illicit affair. This is not appropriate. So he was trying to recollect all the Vedic injunctions, but Ajamil could not control his mind. So he came back and he started thinking of that prostitute only constantly. And he tried to control. He remembered Shastras, but he could not restrain. He lost all good sense. And he always thought of this prostitute, and he gave up his dharma. He gave up his family. He gave up his father's protecting his old parents. He gave up his chaste wife, who is coming from a noble family, who is coming from a very chaste Brahminical family, but still Ajamil has given up her association also, and he has started associating with this prostitute. Eventually he brought that prostitute into his house and started staying with her, and he engaged all the money that his father has earned to satisfy the demands and desires of that prostitute, and he started eating the food cooked by that prostitute, and he has lost all intelligence. So our consciousness is molded by what we eat. When we eat food cooked
in very contaminated way, then our consciousness also will be affected. So in this way, Ajamil was so degraded in his character, and he started committing theft, robbery, gambling, and looting people, threatening people and extracting money from them. In all kinds of sinful activities, grihita vrittis, he started earning a lot of money to maintain the prostitute and his and her children. And he irresponsibly had spent his life. He transgressed all shastras. Like that, so such a long time passed, and he did not perform any atonement for his sinful activities. So, Yamadutas are saying, so we are taking this Ajamil to hellish planets. We are justified in what we are doing. So, in this context, we can remember one beautiful purport from the 10th canto of Bhagavatam that says there are 10 effects of Cupid. Okay, 10 stages. 10 stages in which Cupid affects all of us. Number 1 is Chakshuraga. You can see that flowchart. First is Chakshuraga, means attraction through the eyes. When we see a sense gratificatory object, we get attracted through our eyes. Then, next is Chittasanga. Chittasanga means intense attachment within the mind. Third stage is Sankalpa, determination to attain that object. Fourth stage is Nidracheda, one may lose sleep. Fifth stage, Tanuta, one will become emaciated because of loss of sleep. Then sixth stage is Vishayanivritti, one will be losing all interest in all other things apart from that one sense gratificatory object. Then seventh stage is Trapanashaha, one could become shameless. Then eighth stage is Unmada, madness. Ninth stage is Murcha, becoming stunned. Tenth stage is Mriti, death. So when one is attracted by Cupid, one will pass through all these 10 stages. And the first 9 stages here are applicable and relevant even in the case of one's relationship with the Supreme Lord Krishna. The devotees of Krishna, the gopis or the women of Mathura, they all got attracted to Krishna, and they also go through all these stages. First, intense attraction towards Krishna through eyes, then intense attachment within the mind, then determination to attain Krishna. One may lose sleep, one could become emaciated, one may lose interest in everything other than Krishna. One could become even shameless in expressing one's devotion to Krishna, and one should become even mad in love for Krishna. One could become stunned in love for Krishna. But the 10th stage, which is death, will not happen in the case of devotees who are attracted to Krishna in this conjugal mood. So, the pure spirit soul is meant to be attracted to Krishna in this way, but unfortunately the pure spirit soul is contaminated in this material existence, and the living entity gets attracted to material objects and opposite gender, the body of the opposite gender to be very specific, and ruins one's own spiritual progress. So now Ajamil went through all these stages, and the Vishnu Yamadutas were ready to take Ajamil to hellish planets. Then that completes the first chapter. In the second chapter, we see the response of Vishnu Dutas to what Ajamil, what Yamadutas have presented about Ajamil. Yamadutas spoke that these are our protocols of Yamalok, and he has done sinful activities, so many of them, and he did not commit any atonement. We are taking him to hell. Then Vishnu Dutas said, alas, why irreligion is entering an assembly where dharma is supposed to be upheld? They are claiming to be the servants of Yama Dharmaraj. So, they are supposed to uphold dharma, but they are acting according to adharma, irreligious. They are unnecessarily taking an innocent soul, Ajamil, to hellish planets. He is not meant to be taken to hellish planets. Generally, the citizens will take shelter of a king for protection. But if the king himself becomes a threat to the citizens, where will the citizens go? An animal may take shelter of the master. Oh, he is protecting me, he is giving me grass, he is taking care of me. But if the master himself cuts the throat of the animal whom he is protecting, where will the animal go? Similarly, all these people are supposed to be protected by this Yamaraj and all these people. So, but there is injustice in what they are doing. It's betrayal of trust. So when they were saying like this,
Yamadutas were quite surprised. Oh, why we are being accused of following some injustice or adharma? Now, the Vishnu Dutas give 10 effects of holy name. So why Ajamil is considered innocent? Because although Ajamil has performed so many sinful activities, Ajamil has chanted the holy name of Lord Narayana, and that chanting has completely purified Ajamil. In essence, in short, Ajamil has chanted the holy name of Narayana with great affection while addressing his child. Since the child is named as Narayana, till the death time of Ajamil, Ajamil has been calling out the name of Narayana with great affection for a long time. Daily, several hundreds of times, Narayana come here, Narayana eat this, Narayana sleep here, Narayana drink this, Narayana play with me. Like that, Narayana, 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 with great affection he is calling. Second, on his deathbed, Ajamil chanted the holy name of Narayana with great distress and in a helpless state of mind, with great anxiety and with full concentration. So that affectionate chanting of the holy name of Narayana and this anxious, helpless state of chanting the holy name of Narayana has completely purified Ajamil from all sinful reactions. That is the potency of the holy name Narayana. So the Vishnu Duta said that Ajamil has performed atonement for millions of sins, for lifetimes of sins, because one holy name of the Supreme Lord Krishna or Narayana or Rama can vanquish as many number of sinful reactions that we can even acquire. So our ability to commit sinful activities is not as much as the ability of the holy name to eradicate these sinful activities. So to that end, that chanting of the holy name should be offenseless. If one chants the holy name of the Lord with a mentality that, oh, I am chanting the holy name, I can commit sinful activities. Because the chanting of the holy name can vanquish all my sinful reactions. So if one is chanting holy name with that kind of mentality, it is an offense. But Ajamil did not commit any offense to the holy name. He committed sinful activities, but he chanted the holy name Narayana, but he never thought that, oh, my chanting of Narayana will eradicate my sinful activities. Or he never committed any sinful activities thinking that I will chant and I will eradicate them. So either before committing sinful activities or after committing sinful activities, Ajamil was not thinking that holy name will nullify my sinful activities, sinful reactions. So Ajamil did not commit any sin on the strength of the holy name, and Ajamil never chanted to eradicate sinful reaction. So these two are happening independently. So Ajamil's chanting is offenseless in the sense that he never connected that chanting of the holy name with his sins. So that offenseless chanting of the holy name of Narayana and affectionate chanting of the holy name of Narayana and helpless chanting of holy name of Narayana has completely eradicated all his sins, and you have to consider that he has performed all atonements. Chanting of the holy name is the best process for deliverance, and by chanting of the holy name, the Supreme Lord will become very obliged to such a devotee. One will attract Lord's attention, as mentioned in the 9th and 10th slokas. One will attract Lord's attention. The Lord becomes obliged to the devotee. Oh, he has chanted my holy name. I have to protect him in all circumstances. Like that. And even inattentive or unintentional chanting also is very effective. That does not mean that we have to chant inattentively and unintentionally. But even if one chants the holy name to indicate something else, also that is beneficial. The 14th sloka says, Sanketyam parihasyam vastobham helanamevava vaikunthanama grahanam aseshagaharam viduhu. Sanketyam means to indicate someone else. Parihasyam, while joking. And stobham means for musical entertainment. Helanamevava, even out of neglect also. Vaikunthanama grahanam, if we take the holy name of the Lord of Vaikuntha, asesha agaharam viduhu, one will vanquish all one's sinful reactions. That's the potency of the holy name of Krishna, of Narayana, of the Supreme Lord. He has thousands of names. Any name is very potent. So, Guruvanam cha laghuvanam cha guruvani cha laghuvani cha prayashchittani papanam gnatvoktani maharshibhi. So, people say that if one performs a small sin, the atonement is very small. If one performs a great sin, the atonement is very great. But chanting of the holy name is the best atonement for small sins and big sins, both. So, chanting of the holy name can eradicate all sinful reactions and propensities. So, bhakti can destroy even the root of sin. The example given here is, just like fire can burn dry grass to ashes, similarly, chanting of the holy name can burn all the sinful reactions to ashes. So, and chanting of the holy name will work well even if the person who is chanting does not know the potency of the holy name. Just like we take medicine, doctor knows what medicine will work for our disease, and the doctor knows what are the ingredients of that medicine and how it is effective in our situation. But the patient may not exactly know. He will just take the prescription of doctor. Okay, this medicine 3 times in a day, this medicine 2 times in a day, this medicine 1 in 4 days. He just takes and the medicine works despite of the ignorance of the patient. Although the patient is not knowledgeable about the medicine, still the medicine works. Similarly, although the person who is chanting the holy names is not aware of the potency of the holy name, still the holy name works. And so, saying like this, glorifying the holy name in various ways and explaining that Ajamil has been purified completely from all his sinful reactions. The Vishnu Dutas have cut the ropes of Yamadutas and released Ajamil from their clutches. And they even told that if you arrest Ajamil, we will kill you. So they threatened the Yamadutas and then chased them away. Vishnu Dutas protected Ajamil in this way. And Yamadutas just went back to Yamalok and then reported to Yamaraj. And what happened to Ajamil? Ajamil saw this whole discussion. He was in a very subconscious state. He was totally deranged. But still he was able to make out that some discussion is going on between this effulgent Vishnu Dutas and this dangerous, fearsome looking Yamadutas. So there was discussion. Yamadutas spoke about ordinary dharma, while Vishnu Dutas spoke about transcendental dharma. This ordinary dharma analyzes piety and impiety and says who has to be punished and who has to be rewarded. But this transcendental dharma works on compassion, the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Somehow or the other give mercy to all the people. That's the whole dharma that our Vishnu Dutas have presented. That is transcendental dharma. So Ajamil understood both mundane and transcendental dharmas, and he understood the glories of the holy name, and he came back to his senses. And he was about to say something, but the Vishnu Dutas disappeared from there. Vishnu Dutas did not immediately take Ajamil back to Godhead. So one might think that, Ajamil chanted the holy name Narayana, and he is protected from hellish conditions. So I can also perform all kinds of sinful activities or sense gratification throughout my life. But at the end of my life, I will remember, I will keep a reminder that I will chant the holy name of Narayana, then I will go back to Godhead. So that is not the message of Ajamil episode. So Ajamil was not taken to Vaikuntha immediately. Ajamil was just given a second chance. A second chance was given to Ajamil. Ajamil was lost in lust, but he developed love of God by the intervention of these great Vishnu Dutas. So Ajamil was lamenting, and Ajamil regretted for his sinful activities. You can see Ajamil's lamentation in that chart. Ajamil regretted for his sinful activities. He thought that, I have begot children from prostitute, I have degraded the family tradition, and I did not take care of my old parents. I have chased away my chaste wife. And sometimes one may be lusty, and Ajamil was lost in lust, but that lust could be specifically directed towards one person. If Ajamil was generally lusty, he could have fulfilled his lusty desires with his chaste wife. Why he has to bring that prostitute there? Sometimes the Maya can bewilder a person so much that crossing all boundaries and restrictions and basic human protocols also, a person will go out of his way to associate with the opposite gender to a specific particular person only. But Ajamil has associated with that prostitute, not with his chaste wife. So lust is of multiple flavors. So Ajamil became aware of the results of his own mistakes. I could have gone to hell, but somehow I was protected. He was so grateful for the vision of Vishnudutas. He was so grateful that they protected him in the predicament. So Ajamil, in the beginning stages of his life, he has performed bhakti. He has worshipped the Lord Narayana. He was trained in Vedic culture. So that little performance of bhakti protected Ajamil from the greatest danger of going to hell now. So neha bhikramana sosti pratyavayona vidyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Bhagavad Gita says, in Bhagavad Gita Krishna says that even if little bit of bhakti you do, that will protect you from great danger. Ajamil was protected from this great danger. So Ajamil appreciated, oh, without devotional service, without pleasing Narayana to some degree or the other, I would not have received the darshan of Vishnudutas now. I would not be protected from entering hell now. So, and he became very determined to practice devotional service now. Now I got a second chance. I will not waste my life in sense gratification. I will not go back to that prostitute. So he went to Haridwar and he always engaged himself in devotional service. He became so determined to release himself from the bondage of Maya. He gave up all lusty desires. Earlier he was lost in lust. Now he gave up that lust and he lasted in love for the Supreme Lord. I will free myself from all illusion. I will be merciful to all people and I will become well-wishing friends of all people. I will always absorb myself in Krishna consciousness. I will not be falling victim to bodily identification anymore. Like that, for 12 years, he performed a devotional service at a holy place named Haridwar. And after 12 years, Ajamil has seen a beautiful Vaikuntha airplane descending to take him back to Godhead. So there are Vishnu Dutas in that airplane. So they brought this airplane and took Ajamil into that airplane and took him to Vaikuntha. Earlier when Vishnu Dutas came, they did not come with airplane. They just came to cut the ropes of Yamadutas. Now they have come after 12 years. They have come to protect, they have come to take Ajamil back to Godhead. So one cannot think that I can perform sinful activities the way I want and at the end I will chant the holy names, I will go back to Godhead. Ajamil did not go back to Godhead immediately. He was given another opportunity to perform bhakti. That's a second chance given to Ajamil. So Ajamil chanted without faith. What will happen to us if we chant with faith? And Ajamil chanted the holy name of the Lord while dying. What will happen if we chant the holy name of Narayana Krishna throughout one's life? And Ajamil chanted to indicate his son. What will happen if we chant to indicate the Supreme Lord, Krishna or Narayana directly? And Ajamil chanted with a very sinful background. He was most sinful, but still his chanting has protected him. If we live a pure life, and if we chant the holy names of the Lord, how effective it will be. So, we need to understand this. So, Sukadeva Goswami concludes the whole Ajamil episodes with this. Ajamil's episode is not recommending that offensive chanting or callous chanting. Ajamil's episode is emphasizing the need and the glory of effectively chanting the holy names of the Lord. Actually, just to protect oneself from hellish planets is not the only intention of a devotee who chants the holy names of the Lord. I want to protect myself from hell, bas. Only this much. So that's not the thing. Chanting of the holy name can immerse us in an ocean of satisfaction and love. Now, there's a beautiful shloka in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Rupa Goswami says, Tunde tandavi niratim vitanute tunda vali labdhaye karna krodaka dambini ghatayate karnar bhute haspruham
చేత ప్రాంగణ సంగిని విజయతే సర్వేంద్రియాణాం కృతిం నో జానే జనితా కియద్భిరమృతైః కృష్ణేతి వర్ణద్వయీ తుండే తాండవిని రతిం వితనుతే తుండావళి లబ్ధయే. వెన్ ఐఎమ్ యూజింగ్ మై టంగ్ టు చాంట్ ద హోలీ నేమ్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ ఐ డిజైర్ మిలియన్స్ ఆఫ్ టంగ్స్. కర్ణ క్రోడ కదంబిని ఘటయతే ఇఫ్ ఐ వెన్ ద హోలీ నేమ్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ దట్ వైబ్రేషన్ ఇస్ ఎంటరింగ్ మై ఇయర్ హోల్స్ ఐ డిజైర్ మిలియన్స్ ఆఫ్ ఇయర్స్. దెన్ చేత ప్రాంగణ సంగిని విజయతే సర్వేంద్రియాణాం కృతిం. When the holy name of Krishna is dancing in the courtyard of my heart, all other senses become inert. I don't feel like engaging my senses in any activities of sense enjoyment. My heart is totally immersed in the nectar of holy name. No jane janita kiyad bhiramrutaihi krishneti varnadvayi. I don't understand what great nectar is embedded within these two syllables of Krishna. So, Rupa Goswami is desiring for millions of tongues to chant the holy name, millions of ears to hear the holy name, and he wants to immerse, and he's experiencing that his heart is getting immersed in the holy name while he's chanting. So, we all have that potential to relish the holy name of Krishna. So, one needs to aspire for that, that potential to chant the holy name of Krishna, rather than just protecting oneself from entering hellish conditions. So holy name has that potency to give us joy. Now that completes the second chapter, the story of Ajamil. The third chapter describes what happened after Ajamil was released, what happened in Yamalok. Yamadutas went to Yamaraj and reported the whole thing. Parikshit Maharaj asked, what was the reaction of Yamaraj? Because Yamaraj is the authorized representative of the Lord who can punish all sinful living entities. Now, Ajamil was about to be punished, but that punishment was cancelled by Vishnu Dutas. What was Yamaraj's reaction? So, Sukadeva Goswami describes. The Yamadutas went to Yamalok and challenged Yamaraj. Oh, Yamaraj, we wanted to arrest Ajamil. According to your instruction, we went there with our ropes and we wanted to arrest him. But four effulgent personalities came and cut our ropes. They threatened us. They chased us away. So we understand how many controllers are there? How many people are taking decisions on who is supposed to be punished and who is supposed to be rewarded? We understand there could be multiple masters, multiple controllers. That does not mean there are multiple protocols. All the masters, all the controllers should align with one standard set of protocols. If one person says he has to be punished, another person says no, he has to be rewarded, that inconsistency will create a lot of injustice and problems while rewarding or punishing people. So actually, while executing your instruction, we have been defeated by these four effulgent Yamadutas. And we are not protected. So are you not powerful? Are you not the ultimate authority to punish sinful people? If you don't have the authority, if you can't arrest the Vishnudutas and then bring Ajamil to Yamalok, we are just serving a firefly. So they were so frustrated. These Yamadutas were so frustrated. And they challenged Yamaraj. And finally they said that when Ajamil chanted the holy name Narayana, then these four effulgent personalities came and chased us away. Then, instead of getting offended by this challenging spirit of Yamadutas, Yamaraj became ecstatic. Why? Because Yamadutas chanted the holy name Narayana. And now Yamaraj got an opportunity to speak about the glories of that holy name Narayana. He became so happy. Every time I am only instructing this Yamadutas, take him to Kumbhipaka hell, take him to Sachimukha hell, throw him in boiling oil for 1,000 years, put him in that river with blood, urine, pus, stool, mucus and bile, and throw him in that river for 10,000 years. So these are the managerial decisions that Yamaraj has been taking, and that is how he is instructing the Yamadutas all the while. So now Yamaraj became very happy that I got an opportunity to speak about the holy name of Narayana to my Yamadutas.
So now, with a very pleasant demeanor, Yamaraj explained to the Yamadutas. Oh, Yamadutas, do you know the glory of the Supreme Lord? You are thinking that I am the Supreme Controller. But above me, above Brahma, Shiva and all other demigods, there is the Supreme Controller, the Supreme Lord Vishnu. He is above everybody. Just as Vedas bind the humanity with their instructions, just as a bullock cart is controlled by the bullock cart driver, bulls are controlled by the bullock cart driver, similarly, the Supreme Lord is controlling everything. The entire universe is resting on the Supreme Lord's potency. Just like the cloth is resting on the horizontal and vertical threads, the Supreme Lord is the foundation, is the basis, is the resting place of everything that is happening in this universe. And even great sages and demigods and rishis also cannot understand that Supreme Lord. How can we understand? So, Yamaraj has spoken very eloquently about the glory of the Supreme Lord. And also, Yamaraj said that, oh Yamadutas, the Vishnudutas are very powerful. They are the servants of the Supreme Lord. They have qualities similar to the Supreme Lord. They are specifically independent and they are empowered to protect the devotees of the Lord. And you don't understand Bhagavata Dharma. It is enacted directly by the Lord. Dharmam tu sakshat Bhagavat Praneetam. So according to Bhagavata Dharma, Bhakti Yoga, people are rewarded. People are shown mercy in various ways. So this Bhagavata Dharma is known to 12 Mahajans. And he spoke about the 12 Mahajans. Swayambhur Naradaha Shambhur. Kumaraha Kapilo Manuhu Prahalado Janako Bhishmo Balir Vayasaki Vayam. These are all 12 Mahajans. We will not be elaborating on all of them. And Yamaraj is also one of the 12 Mahajans. So 12 Mahajans know Bhagavata Dharma. And how can people like you can understand Bhagavata Dharma? And he started glorifying the process of chanting the holy name. He says, Etavatalame Etavan Evalokesmin Pumsam Dharmaha Parasmritaham Bhakti Yogo Bhagavati Tannama Grahanadibhi Etavan Evalokesmin. In the 22nd shloka, he says that the real dharma of the humanity is to chant the holy names of the Lord. Okay, Bhakti Yogo Bhagavati Tannama Grahanadibhi means Bhakti Yoga is the ultimate dharma of the holy name of the humanity, as we discussed in the very first episode only. Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktira Dhokshaje. The ultimate duty of the entire humanity is to chant, to perform Bhakti Yoga, and in that Bhakti Yoga, chanting of the holy names of the Supreme Lord Krishna is one of the foremost processes. So then further he says that even improper chanting of the holy name also is very effective in enabling the Lord's mercy. So mind absorbed in dharma, artha, kama, moksha and many karmakandic rituals will not deliver one from all reactions. One cannot understand devotional service and the potency of chanting if one absorbs mind in Vedic rituals. So, and he also describes the characteristics of devotees. You can see there are two beautiful shlokas. Oh, they are not put in the slide. So, the two shlokas that Yamaraj speaks, instructing the Yamadutas, are Te Deva Siddha Parigita Pavitra Gatha Ye Sadhavo Bhaga Ye Sadhava Samadrisho Bhagavat Prapannaha Tanno Pasidata Harer Gadaya Bhiguptan Naisham Vayam Nachavaya Haprabhavama Dandehe. In this shloka, Yamaraj is saying, Te Deva Siddha Parigita Pavitra Gathaha. The glories of great devotees are sung even by great personalities like sages and siddhas also, perfected beings. Ye sadhavaha samadrusho bhagavat parpannaha. They are great sadhus. They are equipped with great sadhana. And samadrusha, they have equanimity. Bhagavat parpanna means they are completely surrendered unto the Lord. So such devotees are not meant to be brought to this hellish planets. Why? Tannopasidata, don't even approach them. Why?
Harer Gadaya Bhigupta, and they are constantly being protected by Lord Hari's Kaumodaki Gada. We discussed in the third canto.
Kaumodaki Bhagavato Daitam Smareta Digdhamarati Bhatashonita Kardamena.
The Kaumodaki Gada of the Supreme Lord encircles the devotees. And if somebody is trying to attack the devotees, Kaumodaki Gada will just hit them. So Kaumodaki Gada is always tainted with the blood of the demons who are trying to trouble the devotees. Yamadutas. Yamaraj is instructing the Yamadutas. Oh Yamadutas, never even approach that great devotees. Naisham vayaha. Naisham vayam nachavayaha prabhavama dandi.
I cannot punish them.
Brahma cannot punish them. Even time factor also cannot influence such devotees. You people cannot go there. So don't do that. Then but whom to bring? Whom to bring to Yamaloka? He clarifies.
Jihvana vakti bhagavad gunanama dheyam chetaschana smarati tacharanara vindam krishnayano namati yachira ekadapi tanana vadhamasato krita vishnu krityan.
In this shloka, Yamaraj says, Jihva na vakti bhagavad gunanama dheyam, the person who does not engage his tongue in chanting the holy name of the Lord even once.
Chetaschana smarati tat charana aravindam,
the person who does not engage his mind in remembering the lotus feet of the Lord even once.
Krishnayano namatiyat chira ekadapi,
the person who does not offer obeisances to Krishna even once. Such people should be brought to Yamalok.
Tananavadham.
Asato, they are very bad people.
Akrita Vishnu Krityan,
they have not done anything in relation to the Supreme Lord Vishnu or Krishna. So, the person who does not chant the holy name even once, the person who doesn't offer obeisances to Krishna even once, the person who does not remember the Lord even once, they are supposed to go to hellish planets, not those people who are absorbed in Krishna's glories. So, in this way, Yamaraj very emphatically instructs the Yamadutas in the whole process of Bhakti Yoga and chanting of the holy name and warns them, cautions them, don't approach devotees. Then finally, Sukadeva Goswami concludes the whole episode saying that the whole process of Sankirtana or chanting the holy names of the Supreme Lord Krishna is very powerful, definitely millions of times more powerful than this regular karmakandic rituals. So devotees will never return to sinful activities. People who are doing some karmakandic atonement and other Vedic rituals and pujas may go back to sinful activities, but devotees who have completely dedicated their lives to Krishna's service and chanting of the holy names of the Lord with absorption, such people will not be going back to material activities. So finally, Yamadutas understood the glories of the holy name, and since then Yamadutas never tried to go to devotees. While Yamadutas are very fearful to sinful people, all people, but Yamadutas see devotees and they become fearful. Yamadutas become fearful of devotees. So that completes the episode of Ajamil. Thank you all very much. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय, श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय।